Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 36 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
Perhaps some additional rainfall even after dawn, so could overflow their boundaries a little bit.
Most of eastern Kentucky will be under a flood watch tonight.
A Maysville woman accused of terrorism will be sentenced next week.
An Ashland City commissioner has died.
Governor Matt Bevin is defending the hiring of a so-called adoption czar.
Kentucky cancer rates are higher than the national average.
In sports, the Kentucky basketball team hosts Tennessee tonight at 7.
Bud Luke has the stop report.
Rain tonight with lows around 32 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Most of eastern Kentucky will be under a flood watch this evening. The National Weather Service in Jackson has issued a flood watch from 10 p.m. to until Wednesday afternoon for several Kentucky counties. Meteorologist Kevin Sullivan says even a little rain can cause a big problem.
We're expecting about 1.5 to 2 inches of rain in a relatively short period of time tonight. So a lot of that's going to run off into the creeks and streams and potentially create some localized flooding issues in places. We're most concerned about low-lying areas and low water crossings. Those are the main areas that we're probably going to be focused on tonight.
Affected areas include Rowan, Fleming, Menifee, Montgomery, Johnson, Morgan, Bath, and Magoffin counties.
A Maysville woman who pled guilty to charges of terrorism will be sentenced next week. The Maysville Ledger-Independent reports 57-year-old Marie Antoinette Castelli will appear in U.S. District Court February 15th. Castelli admitted using social media to call for the murder of a certain U.S. service members and their families. She was also part of a private pro-ISIS Facebook group. As part of a plea agreement, Castelli will serve 90 months in prison and 3 years of supervised release. She currently remains in custody in the Campbell County Detention Center.
One person is dead and another is behind bars following a single vehicle wreck in Laurel County. WKYT reports the accident happened early Sunday morning just south of London. Officers arrested 28-year-old Kayla Brock on charges of DUI and manslaughter. Her passenger, 25-year-old Daniel Witt, was killed when Brock swerved into a ditch and struck a telephone pole. Deputy Gilbert Asiardo says the incident could have been prevented.
Of course, number one, you don't operate a motor vehicle under the influence of drugs or alcohol. If you get on the roads and we find you in that condition, we're going to arrest you. Hopefully, you don't cause a crash before we do get to you.
The driver may now spend up to 10 years in prison if convicted. Brock is housed in the Whitley County Detention Center.
Two people have been arrested in Ashland on drug charges. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, 30-year-old Olivia Gilpin and 51-year-old Tammy White are accused of buying and possessing methamphetamine, heroin, and other controlled substances. Police also seized drug paraphernalia. Both Gilpin and White are held in the Boyd County Detention Center.
A woman is facing burglary charges after police found her in someone else's bathroom. According to WKYT, the incident happened Sunday morning at a home on Blairmore Road in Lexington. Police say Brittany Mueller broke into that house. When officers got there, they said she was asleep in the bathroom, sitting on the toilet. Mueller is a student of the University of Kentucky.
A former chief financial officer of a Louisville insurance company has been sentenced to 37 months in federal prison for tax evasion and embezzlement. A federal judge ordered 63-year-old Sylvia Smith to pay over $674,000 in restitution during the sentencing this Monday. Smith was accused of devising an embezzlement scheme to obtain money from her employer, Market Finders Insurance Corporation, and diverting those funds to another company owned by her husband. A plea agreement says Smith created fraudulent loan checks from Market Finders and moved them into the bank account of her husband's company, PBS Insurance. This happened from July 2013 to April 2015. Smith was charged with wire fraud and failing to report embezzled funds as income on her tax returns.
A Mason County man is scheduled to stand trial this week on multiple charges of sexual assault relating to children. WMKY's Kenzie Thompson has more.
50-year-old Charles Clark of Dover is accused of 4 counts of first-degree sexual assault abuse of a victim under 12, 2 counts of first-degree sodomy of a victim under 12, and incest of a victim under 12. According to officials, the case involves 3 victims. According to the Maysville Ledger, the abuse happened between September 1, 2016 and March 10, 2017. Clark was arrested on March 10, 2017 after a 6-month investigation by Kentucky State Police. Clark is currently being held in the Mason County Detention Center on a $30,000 cash bond. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, presenting the 13th Annual Moorhead Antique Market, March 4th and 5th at the Moorhead Conference Center. On-site appraisals by Tom Clark and Richard Mook from KET's Antiques Collectibles TV show. The Moorhead Antique Market at the Moorhead Conference Center, Saturday, March 4th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, March 5th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. More information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
The 2018 General Assembly is 1 month into its 60-day session, and lawmakers are still discussing the budget. Spectrum News reports there's still no pension bill, which many legislators feel must be passed before discussing the budget. Democratic Representative Jim Wayne says being in the minority, he and his party will have little input in the budget details. He believes with the governor's proposal, school boards will have to bear $200 million in cuts.
And also, the other is going to be the retired teachers who do not yet qualify for Medicare. And those people have had insurance paid for as part of their pension process. And that is being eliminated in this budget, which is going to be a tremendous burden.
Governor Matt Bevin and his Republican colleagues have expressed confidence in their budget proposal and expect little trouble getting it to the Senate.
The new Kentucky Medicaid waiver will be the first of its kind in the country, and Governor Matt Bevin has a lot of confidence in the system. That system will have to have work and community engagement requirements in order for participants to be eligible to receive benefits. With federal backing, Bevin hopes the waiver will serve as a model for other states to follow.
Our confidence that this is going to be unfolded well is high. It is the confidence that the federal government has as well, which is part of why we were selected for this.
Several Medicaid beneficiaries are scared that the new rules and requirements will leave many without coverage, but Governor Bevin says those who comply with work requirements will still be eligible.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin is defending the hiring of a so-called state adoption czar whose contract was terminated just 7 months into his tenure. WUKY's Josh James has more.
In his 2017 State of the Commonwealth address, Bevin signaled his intent to bring in a new face to head reform efforts in the state's adoption and foster care system. But the person appointed to that position, pastor and former executive at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Daniel Dumas, is already out. Dumas signed on with a controversial $240,000 contract and will depart with an extra $60,000 on his way out the door. Monday, Bevin explained.
It had a buyout type clause in there. And it seems, you know, outrageous. But at the same time, this is the nature of these things. It was so that we were not stuck with a 3-year, 2-year, 1-year thing even. It was literally a day to day.
Bevin said Dumas met with every department of the Cabinet for Health and Family Services, along with outside groups, to gather information about how the system currently operates. Dumas's hiring had drawn fire from critics who questioned his lack of experience in child welfare or social work. Bevin has called the state's adoption system convoluted and bureaucratic. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Governor Matt Bevin's budget proposal looks promising for the Kentucky State Police. That's according to one Eastern Kentucky lawmaker. Bevins has suggested replacing the trooper's 15-year-old radio system with a modern one and providing more than $4 million for new vehicles. Republican Representative Jill York is optimistic about that budget.
It looks like going to make a real effort to replace the vehicle, weaponry, tackle a lot of the high-tech, wonderful objects that are in the police crime lab, replace their antiquated machinery and microscopes and things like that, to truly bring in the state-of-the-art tools that they need that will then continue to help us clear case law and put bad guys behind bars.
York says it's difficult to find Kentucky residents who wouldn't want state troopers to be better equipped for emergency situations.
The president of the Kentucky Coal Association is thanking State Representative John Blanton for his recent move to support the industry. The Republican from Sawyersville introduced concurrent Resolution 130 on the House floor. The measure urges Congress to establish a moratorium on shuttering coal-fired power plants and asks that funding for renewable energy sources be eliminated. According to Tyler White, Blanton's resolution acknowledges the important role that coal plays as an energy source to Americans.
Coal in particular provides us a sort of reliability that makes sure that our lights are always on, that makes sure that our food is refrigerated, that makes sure that our hospitals are always powered. And not by intermittent sources of power, but by constant reliable power.
Blanton's resolution asks for Congress to stand up for coal, which he calls an affordable energy source that provides jobs and electricity for not only those in eastern Kentucky, but all across the U.S.
Cancer rates are higher than the national average in Kentucky. That's according to CEO of the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky. Brian Courtney has the story.
Former Congressman Ben Chandler spoke in Ashland on Monday, saying that Kentucky's high cancer rates are linked to its smoking rates, which rank 49th in the country. According to the Daily Independent, the Commonwealth's youth smoking rate is 80% higher than the national average, and the adult rate 62% higher. Chandler says this is costing the state around $2 billion in insurance and health expenses every year, an average of $1,200 per household. The Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky is lobbying the state legislature to pass smoking ban laws and raise Kentucky's tobacco tax by a dollar. According to Chandler, only four of Kentucky's 120 counties have smoke-free laws. He believes those moves would cause around 24,000 households to stop smoking. For WMKY News, I'm Brian Courtney.
Like any public protection agency, the Rouen Sheriff's Department could use more money as it tries to make further progress in the county's fight against illegal narcotics. That word comes from Chief Deputy Joe Klein. Klein says while finding more money for his department is critical, his deputies could use additional assistance from local residents in the effort.
It's not just a law enforcement problem, a law enforcement issue, even though it seems like we're the ones on the front lines and sometimes in the headlines of the newspaper and things, but it's going to take more. It's going to take a community buy-in. The community has got to be a part of the solution of the problem that we have.
Klein says the Rouen Sheriff's Department is grateful for the financial help it has received from the County Fiscal Court and grants from Operation Unite. He's asking Rouen Countyans to call his department anytime if they see something that looks suspicious.
A controversial pipeline project is still a go in Rouen County, so says Judge Executive Walter Blevins. Kinder Morgan is planning to pipe liquid natural gas through Rouen and several other Kentucky counties. Since liquid natural gas is several times more volatile than regular natural gas, Blevins has expressed concern about the safety of the project. He says company officials, though, have assured him that they'll have some precautionary measures in place to protect the public and the environment.
They say they'll have a pig operation that goes in there that is like a little pig that you put in the line. It checks for leaks, checks for any kind of rust, any kind of thing. They said they'll be doing that. They have to pressurize the line before they use it. They'll have, hopefully, the safeguards that can turn things off rapidly. But again, it's something I wish we could have stopped.
Blevins says without zoning laws, Rouen County has no power to stop the Kinder Morgan pipeline project. At this point, it's uncertain when the initiative will begin.
Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region, there's a winter weather advisory in effect from 10 p.m. tonight to 1 p.m. tomorrow. And that's because tonight there's a 100% chance of rain and freezing rain, lows around 30 degrees. The rain continues tomorrow with sleet, freezing rain, and rain showers possible. Another 100% chance of precipitation throughout the day. Highs around 35. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, a slight chance of flurries. Lows around 20. On Thursday, sunny and a little warmer. Highs around 40. That night, mostly clear. Lows right around freezing. And on Friday, at the end of this work week, partly cloudy and a lot warmer. Highs in the upper 50s. It's currently sitting at 36 degrees here in Moorhead, 34 in Flemingsburg, 36 in Lexington and Winchester, 37 in Inez, and 35 minutes down the road in Ashland. The time is 4:45. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Leanne Akers, and we're glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon, isn't it? On our feature segment, a local arts group is hosting a Restore Kentucky Arts Funding and Arts Advocacy event at Coffee Tree Books. It takes place tomorrow from 4 to 6. Leanne took a deeper look.
The event is organized by the Emerging Art Leaders of Eastern Kentucky, a student organization at Moorhead State University. Jennifer Rice is the Claypool Young Gallery Director at MSU. She says the organization has been looking for a reason to have an arts advocacy forum.
When the news started coming out that both locally and on the state level, there were going to be arts cuts, I met with a group and said this would be a fantastic motivation, sort of a rally to do this.
Moorhead's Kentucky Folk Arts Center is on the chopping block in Governor Matt Bevin's proposed budget, with a full reduction of the annual $200,000 support it receives from Moorhead State. The Kentucky Arts Council is facing a 35% budget reduction and a nearly $1.8 million funding loss through 2020. Rice says between 4 and 5 p.m., a number of speakers will be on hand, like Kentucky Arts Council former director Lori Meadows and Kentucky Folk Arts Center director Matt Collingsworth.
Ashley Gillum from the Round County Arts Center, she's executive director there. And then one of my students who has done significant research about the impact of the arts in our region of Central Appalachia, he's going to speak for a few minutes as well.
The event will also feature ways for attendees to contact lawmakers about maintaining arts funding. Rice says the student group has talking points and postcards ready for anyone interested in saving the arts in Kentucky, and more specifically, the Kentucky Folk Arts Center. Rice says she hopes the event will help people realize the economic impact the KFAC has on the region.
It's a real draw for tourists, and it hosts two major art events in the region, one of which, the Appalachian Arts and Crafts Fair. I participate as a local craftsperson, and it's my biggest show of the year. So it's going to take a dent out of my art business if the Folk Arts Center goes away.
Rice says the Folk Arts Center has a huge educational impact as well.
Through their grant program, their outreach programs, they actually supply art supplies for kids because they happen to be involved in that grant project. So I think that people think, oh, it's, you know, nice that we have a Folk Arts Center, but they don't realize just such a wide, you know, ranging impact that it has on for our community and how it makes our community so much more livable and better.
Other than postage stamps, Rice says those interested in attending the event should just bring themselves.
My attitude is always that if you enjoy something, you need to step up and support it. Otherwise, it may go away. And I think that's where we are with the Folk Arts Center, and then thinking more on a state level with the Kentucky Arts Council, which is also benefited our community greatly.
The event is free and open to the public. For WMKY News, I'm Leanne Akers. It's 4:49 and 36 degrees here in Moorhead. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Arlo Barnett, and we're glad to have you with us today. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling, 6 p.m. on Saturday, February 17th. Enjoy an evening of singing, dancing, and a night of songs. Tickets are $15 and includes pizza, salad, and cash bar. A table is waiting for you at the Gateway Regional Arts Center, Le Cabaret, 6 p.m. on Saturday, February 17th. Call 859-498-6264 or online at grackentucky.org.
Cats look to bounce back. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Kentucky basketball team returns to Rupp Arena tonight for a 7 o'clock SEC battle against 15th-ranked Tennessee. The 17-6 Wildcats will be out to erase the bad taste left in their mouths by last Saturday's upset loss at Missouri. Coach John Calipari says his up-and-down ball club will never be all it's capable of being until UK's players take personal responsibility for their play.
The biggest thing is you cannot, as a coach, enable them to create excuses for their performance. The way you are playing is no one else's responsibility but yours. You can't put it on teammates, coaches, fans, nothing. You have to own your performance. Hard for young guys.
Number 24 UK will be out to avenge last month's 76-65 loss to Tennessee down in Knoxville. The Cats are 92-16 lifetime against the Vols in Lexington. Also, Kentucky big man Ty Winyard has been suspended indefinitely from all team activities. The forward from New Zealand has appeared in just 8 games this season after a back injury sidelined him for a few games. He averaged 1 point and 2 rebounds per game. Louisville's interim basketball coach David Padgett is looking for ways to get his slumping team turned around. The Cardinals lost their third straight game last night, falling to Syracuse at the Yum Center 78-73.
We're obviously struggling a little bit right now. We just haven't played very well the last couple games, and it's 100% up to me as a head coach to get it figured out. So, we will. We'll get it figured out. We're just in a little bit of a rut right now, and we got to play ourselves out of it.
The loss dropped Louisville to 16-8 on the year with an ACC mark of 6-5. The Cards face Georgia Tech on Thursday. Both the Round County girls and boys basketball games have been canceled for tonight. The Lady Vikings were scheduled to host Fairview. However, that game will now be played at a later date. As for the Round Boys, their contest with Ashland Blazer will not be made up. Losers of 5 straight games, a break from game action could be a good thing for the Vikings. Head coach Sean Thacker says better backcourt play could help Round turn things around as they head into postseason play in 2 weeks.
If you don't have guards that can make decisions, if you don't have guards who can make plays, basketball's a very difficult sport. You know, it can end with your post players, but basketball at any level starts with guard play. So, you know, the better your guards play, the better your team's going to play.
Both the Round boys and girls will get back in action on Thursday when the girls team visits Ashland Blazer and the boys host East Carter. Some notes from the NBA. The Los Angeles Lakers have been fined $50,000 by the NBA for violating the league's anti-tampering rule. The fine is in response to a statement made by Lakers president of basketball operations Magic Johnson regarding Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo. Milwaukee guard Matthew Dellavedova is expected to be sidelined for 3 to 4 weeks with a grade 3 ankle sprain, and Dallas Mavericks guard Seth Curry will undergo season-ending surgery to repair a left tibia fracture, according to ESPN. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenure has 3 major goals for he and his staff to work on to replenish the Eagles roster in advance of the 2018 season. Tenure wants MSU to sign recruits who can not only compete on the field and in the classroom, but who also have size.
We need to get longer. We need to get bigger. I feel like we're very competitive in the speed department in our conference. But we got to get bigger, and so that's going to be something that we focus on in this recruiting class. And I hope that by the middle of February, we'll have some guys that we can go to war with next year.
Tenure is also expected to announce the hiring of 3 new assistant coaches in the coming days. In 2017, the University of Louisville football program began construction to add 10,000 more seats to the already 55,000 seat Papa John's Cardinal Stadium, but attendance issues have some questioning the project. While U of L reported an average of 46,000 fans at its 6 home games last season, an open records report by WDRB shows the actual amount of tickets scanned at each game was less than 34,000. The project was approved by former athletic director Tom Jurich, who was fired shortly after construction began, and interim athletic director Vince Tyre tells WDRB he understands why some fans are questioning the renovation.
It's the obvious question, but am I going to go back and try to undo the stadium and tear it back down? No, we're going to take it from here. It's a situation we have, and then we figure out how to create a business and marketing plan around what we have.
The total cost for the project is over $63 million. U of L says it has $54 million in funding pledged to the project, but that number includes $20 million from unnamed corporate sponsors, and those deals are not yet finalized. Meanwhile, former athletic director Tom Jurich is asking Matt Bevin to get involved in his feud with the University of Louisville. According to the Louisville Courier-Journal, the fired AD's legal team met with Steve Pipp, Governor Matt Bevin's general counsel, to expedite stalled settlement talks with the university. Jurich believes he is owed $15 million that was left on his contract after Louisville fired him for what he argues without cause. Neither side wished to comment on the matter publicly. However, Pitt told the CJ, quote, there could be a row for his side in the process. Finally, in sports, an MLB.com reporter who covers the Reds believes Cincinnati could have the makings of a solid starting pitching rotation this season. With Homer Bailey, Anthony DeSclafani, and Brandon Finnegan back from injuries, and Luis Castillo coming off of a solid first year in the Queen City, Mark Sheldon says the Reds just need to figure out who their fifth starter will be. Right now, youngsters Amir Garrett, Cody Reed, Robert Stevenson, Tyler Molly, and Sal Romano are slated for that spot.
We're hoping that one of these guys can take in what they did in the second half, or one of the guys that struggled last year, like Garrett or a Reed, can turn it around and really make that spot competitive. They really can see themselves having a good quality starting five and then another quick quality starting five that backs them up at AAA Louisville. So there really is going to be a lot of battling.
That group will be among the pitchers and catchers who will report to the Red Spring training camp in Goodyear, Arizona next Tuesday. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle basketball hosts Southeast Missouri for a doubleheader on Thursday. The women's game is set for 5:15 and the men tip off at 7:30. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386, online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. After two huge sell-offs in a row, U.S. stocks were all over the map today. And at the, earlier today, the market was down very sharply, down over 500 points in early trading. But the blue-chip average rallied magnificently, and at the close, the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 567.02. At 24,912.77, the S&P 500 was up 46.2 at 2695.14, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 148.36 at 7115.88. At its session low, the Dow was down 567 points, so the blue chip average today traded in a range of 1167.49 points, and investors are blaming the wild moves of the market on a combination of interest rate fears, computer-driven trading, and obscure volatility funds that use leverage. Technology was your best performing sector in the S&P 500 today. And the CBOE Volatility Index, which is widely considered the best fear gauge on Wall Street, actually broke above 50 in early trading today before sliding down to close at 30.12. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.8% at $63.43 a barrel, while gold was down 0.75% at $1,326.30 an ounce. Overseas stocks were weak. In Europe, the Stock 600 index was down 2.4%, and in Asia, they were even weaker. The Nikkei average finished with a loss of 4.75%, and the Hang Seng index in Hong Kong was down just over 5%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Dow DuPont and Home Depot, while your worst performers were ExxonMobil and Merck. In the S&P 500, the best performers were TripAdvisor and Micron Technology, while the worst performers were CBOE Global Markets and Arconic. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 97 cents at 73.71, CSX up $1.83 at 53.82, Marathon Petroleum up $1.10 at 65.68, AK Steel up 15 cents at 4.80, AEP down $1.56 at 64.92, and U.S. Bancorp was down 3 cents to finish at 54.59. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
The Office of Career Services at Morehead State University works to bring employers and employees together. One event that does this is the Spring Career Fair, Tuesday, March 6th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in MSU's Laughlin Health Building. This is your opportunity to connect with employers looking to hire full-time and part-time employees, plus gain information on graduate schools. Contact the MSU Office of Career Services 783-2233 online at moreheadstate.edu/career.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Cody Robinson, Sean Delaney, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Peyton Stewart, Kenzie Thompson, Brian Courtney, and Braxton Howard. WUKY's Josh James chipped in, and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.